Good to be in God's house. Y'all look great. Praise God. Hey, before I get into the word, let me just quickly kind of give just one plug. So Freedom is coming up in February. Freedom groups are a unique kind of group. It's a 13-week commitment, which might seem pretty substantial, and it kind of is. But it ends with a conference here at MCC. It's a powerful time. And I'm just going to tell you, I feel like about a week and a half ago that God put this on my heart. This is going to be a unique time for our church, and this year we need to press into this type of group specifically. And so I'm just gonna kind of put a little bit of holy pressure on you. If you've not been in a Freedom group, I'm gonna ask you to jump into one this time around. When I felt like God put it on my heart, I texted Tara, our group's director, and just said, "When's Freedom starting?" And then I asked her the second question: "Is how many can you have?" And she told me they have capacity of around 100 people right now, but I feel confident that if we have more, we can figure it out, okay? And so right now, I think we have around 60 that are planning on it. And so I'm going to trust that God's going to bring another 50 or so, maybe even more from this announcement, okay? It's going to happen. Yes. Amen? Yes. Are we all in agreement? If you're ready to do it, go ahead and raise your hand now. All right. A few people. I love that. All right. Praise God. So getting to a Freedom group is going to be awesome. I believe for many of you guys, God's got a divine appointment set up for you in Freedom. It's going to change your life. It's going to absolutely radically change you. And I want to encourage you, jump into one of those groups. All right. Praise God. Last week, we had really kind of a unique morning in church for those of you who are here. It was January 1st, 2023. And God's spirit just kind of stepped into the room, changed all the agenda, removed all the plans, and did what he wanted to do. And it was honestly one of the most amazing times that I've probably had at MCC in the whole time that I've been here. And so I heard from a number of people this statement: that was the most powerful service I've ever been in my life. A number of people told me that. Even people that were watching online emailed me. I had two different people in different places in the country, one in Florida, one in Idaho, that said, "I watched online and it was amazing what God did in my life I sat there weeping while I'm watching online across the country." And so I know that God was doing something really unique in that service. I honestly came in planning on speaking about what to do when you're walking through a dry season spiritually in life, ironically. And God was like, "No, I'm just going to take care of all that right now by pouring out my spirit." And it was just this amazing time of refreshing. And so so thankful for that. But in that service, I just feel like God dropped Acts 1:1 into my heart. The beginning of Acts, the author Luke, he kind of opens it up by talking to this guy, Theophilus, who he's speaking to in Acts. And he said, "In my former account," which is the Gospel of Luke, he said, I showed you all the things that Jesus first began to do and to teach," in that order. The things he began to do and to teach. Last week was kind of a lab thing. God was doing some things that for many of you guys might be a little beyond your understanding of the scripture. Maybe it's kind of the things that you've never heard about. You heard people speaking and singing in tongues and you were like, "What is that? That's crazy. Can we do that in church? Where are the snakes at? Are they coming out next? Like, what's happening?" That's not going to happen. But so it was beyond your understanding, but God was doing something. And so what I said last week was, "I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit." Because sometimes God will do things and then we need to learn about it and figure out, okay, what's God saying? What's God doing in my life? And so we're going to be here today talking about the Holy Spirit. This is going to be week one of a two-week series on the Holy Spirit. But week two is going to be in 3 weeks. Y'all tracking with me? So the next two Sundays are going to be Mission Sundays. And I kind of was like, man, like, should we change the order up? And God brought my mind right away to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 12 is all about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. 13 is what? It's the love chapter. And then 14, again, right back to the Holy Spirit. This is how you operate in the gifts of the Spirit in the local church. And so it was like God was saying, "You know what? I'm going to teach them the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to show you how to love your world well in missions, and then we'll go back to the Holy Spirit, and then week two will be about the gifts of the Spirit and how that operates in the local church." And so super excited about today and then 3 weeks out, but also excited about the next 2 weeks talking about the missional call of God, the purposes of God that are being worked out through MCC and local churches all over the world. Amen? It's an incredible thing, and so we're excited about that as well. So two-week series called Overflow. Now we're going to pray. And we can pray that God will help us to hear a good biblical message. But we can also pray that God will absolutely transform our lives in this moment. James 4 says, we have not because we, what? We ask not. And so I would like us to expand our faith a little bit. And I want us to pray a little bit higher that God will do something in this service that will absolutely transform our lives forever. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to stand up. Let's do it this way. Let's all be a part of this. Stand up across the room. I'm going to ask you to put your hands out. This is kind of a sign of surrender and seeking. Saying, God, I want whatever you have for me. I surrender my own will and agenda and plans. God, we just thank you right now in this moment that we are here, not by ourselves as a bunch of people, but God, we are here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We surrender our agenda. We surrender this time. We surrender all distractions. God, we just lay those things down before you, and we pray, Lord, would you help us to have ears that are able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. God, we thank you that you are speaking to us. You've already been speaking to us. And I pray, God, that you would continue to speak powerfully, that you would transform our lives. And I do pray that we would never be the same from this day forward. I pray that my life would forever be changed by these next moments we share together in your presence. And I pray that for every person in this room. We thank you for it. For those who are watching online, God, would you show up right now in those living rooms and cars and bedrooms and wherever they are. I pray, God, that every one of us would have an encounter today with the living God who is so gracious and compassionate and good in every way. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We bless you. All praise, King Jesus. All praise, King Jesus. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you can be seated. Praise God. So with this idea of talking about the Holy Spirit, some of you guys are like, finally, here we go. And some of you guys are like, oh man, here we go. And, you know, so wherever you happen to be on that spectrum, let me just start by saying this. When you look at the book of Acts, one thing you will see over and over again is the early church depended on, talked about, and interacted with the person of the Holy Spirit on a consistent, continual basis. But if we look at the church today, and even at times, can we say, even MCC, can we just acknowledge that we're part of this whole thing? Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit at times is the most ignored person in the church. That we often kind of put him to the side, and we put him in certain rooms, kind of the prayer room, the weird room. Like we put him aside and say, okay, you can do that stuff over there, but like we're gonna kind of all be civilized out here, you know? And last week, that was part of the tension that I felt. I told you guys, I walked up here and I felt God speak to me and say, I want you to begin to do what 1 Corinthians 14 says. I want you to begin to sing in the Spirit. In other words, sing in tongues as a church. And honestly, I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. It's January 1st, you know, people are like, they're gonna fulfill their resolution, you know, I'm gonna be in church this year, you know, and so I'm visiting for the first time, and I'm like, I don't wanna do that right now on this day. But as I knelt down, I mean, I asked us to get a posture of surrender. I'm kneeling down on the altar, and the Holy Spirit's like, really? Like, you're gonna act like you're submitting yourself to me? And then not do what I said to do. So I got back up and I was like, all right, guys, this is what I feel like God told me to do. And so we're all gonna sing in the Spirit. And if you were here, like that moment was like a flood of God's presence and of unity. If you look at Acts 1 and Acts 2, where it talks about they were in one accord, that word is like, it's a Greek word. It's like a musical term, symphonia. It's this idea of being all in unity. And so it was a moment of one accordness in the room, and God's presence just like whoosh, just came. It was so powerful. And so as a church, we want to be people who are like, you know what, we're not gonna ignore the person and the work and the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why do you think that many churches, including us at times, why do we tend to ignore the Holy Spirit or to kind of like relegate him to certain places and certain times? And I think it's because the Holy Spirit can mess things up a little bit, right? There's an element of control that we let go of when we say, Holy Spirit, come. We sang about it earlier, Holy Spirit, come. You know, we're singing those songs and we're singing the words, but when we really invite the Holy Spirit and say, we want you to have your way, what it does is put us out of the seat of control and it yields us to the work of the Holy Spirit in a way that at times can be a little bit messy, right? A few years ago, my daughters were probably 3 and 4 years old. And we bought them a little Barbie Power Wheel. Remember the Power Wheels? I don't know if they still have those things now. They probably do. It's a little kind of little car, you know, a little Barbie car. And it has a battery in it. And you can drive around the yard, you know, out in the driveway. And so my girls, of course, 3, 4 years old, somewhere in there. And we put them in the car. And we showed them how to push the little thing down, the pedal, whatever. Yeah, the pedal. And so they're pushing the pedal down. We showed them how to steer the car, but they're too young to really do it well. And so they would like push the pedal down. It's like, you know, and they head for the deck, you know, it's like, you know, hit the deck. And then we turn them around, kind of show them, you know, how to do that. And it's like, and head for the tree and boom, hit the tree, you know? And, so what I did was I found like a little stake, like a big tent peg kind of thing. And I stuck it in the middle of my yard and I got a rope and tied it to that stake and tied it to the power wheel, and then they just like drove around the yard in circles for like hours. It was just like this. And they come around, I'd say, where are you going? The park. I'd say, oh, have a good time. You know, they go around, like, you know, and they come back around, where are you going? Going down to the mall. Like, no, have a great time, you know. And so just hours of enjoyment because they were tethered to something that kept them in line. So as a church, what happens in the church is that when the Holy Spirit begins to lead, we tend to bump into stuff like manipulation and excess and selfish ambition and pride and all these things unless we're tethered to something that's firm and foundational. And so today, we want to be tethered to the Word of God when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Like, I want to have the battery of the Spirit working at MCC. I don't want to pull the battery out and say, you know what, this is a lot safer if we're just going to pull this thing out and we all just get in the church and we just enjoy it. Like, it's going to be awesome. We're just going to enjoy this thing. It's going to be very safe, very controlled. You put the battery in and things can go a little bit haywire unless you're tethered to the Word. Y'all with me? So I want to make sure that we don't remove the power, but we also stay tethered to God's Word. And so as a church, we are not called to safety. We're not called to keep this thing all under control. We're called to be dangerous. Amen? We are fighting an invisible enemy that absolutely is determined and dangerous. And we have to be filled with the power and fire of the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, as a pastor, I would rather have a little bit of wildfire than no fire. Amen? Because God's given us like a governance in the church, and what he's called us to do is operate, yes, in order and all those things, but at the top of that governance is the Holy Spirit's power and word and wisdom. And so if things begin to go a little bit sideways, and they might at times, right? There might be excesses every once in a while. And if there is, God's given us wisdom to know how to pastor and lead that stuff. But I would much rather have some fire that we're having to kind of say, okay, let's walk in order, let's walk in wisdom, than to have no fire and say, well, we're all safe at least. Y'all with me? And so we are going to be committed as a church to not pull the battery out, but to absolutely say, God, we're going to lean on the power and person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be all in on this. And my prayer is that last week was a precursor for the whole year and maybe for the rest of our lives. My prayer is that God's going to begin to move in this church in powerful ways and that you and I are going to be part of it. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, so last week, I said earlier, the weird moment of the church service was the tongues part, right? That was the odd part. Everybody in agreement there? All right. Like 5 of us are like, yes, that was odd. Yes, that was crazy. All right, so I want to talk today a little bit about this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. as we see it in Scripture. My purpose today is really to remove some confusion that maybe you have, maybe some people in your family have, maybe some tension you felt around this topic, and then bring clarity to this topic and help us to be tethered to the Word of God. That's my whole purpose this morning. I want to help answer questions. I want to bring clarity. And then I do want to tether us to God's word and say, this is how this works at MCC, because this is how we see it in the Scriptures. Amen? If you got a Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. If you're taking notes, this is going to be a teaching, okay? This is going to be a teaching, a topical teaching through God's word. We're going to move around quite a bit in the Bible, and so I'm going to ask you, if you're taking notes, do take notes. If you're not taking notes, do take notes, because this is a note-taking church. We believe note-takers are what? World changers. And so take notes. It's going to be a good morning to be doing that. You'll want to go back to these. Acts chapter 19. Everybody there? All right, I'm going to wait then, because like most of you guys are not there yet. Acts 19, starting at verse 1. Are you there? Yes. Praise God. All right, while you're there, let me go back to something we said earlier. So Gina gave a word earlier about God setting before us life and death. Yeah? Deuteronomy 31 talks about that exact thing. That behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you may live. And it talks about even your legacy, even your family legacy, that you and your sons, that you and your children may live. Some of you guys today, that was a word for you. I just don't want to get away from that. I just feel like I feel impressed on that. But some of you guys today, God's setting before you life and death. And right now, you are headed toward hell. You are absolutely choosing death. You've chosen with your actions, you've chosen to remove God from your life. And because of that, you are headed toward death. And but the worst, what's even worse, is it's generational. Your kids will go to hell. Your grandkids will go to hell. I'm going to read that. I feel like it's the God moment. I don't want to miss it. I said 31. It's 30. All right. I see it here. Here it goes. Moses says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." Amen. So, if you're in that place where you've been really ignoring God, you kind of resisted God, you're like, I'm not going to be a person of faith, this is not my thing, I want to implore you, I want to challenge you, I want to really, I'll offend you if I have to, but I just feel like, if God is speaking to you and he's saying to you, I'm putting before you life and death. I'm putting before you blessings and cursings. And you can choose one or the other. But if you choose death and if you choose curses, it's going to affect not only you, but many people around you. And I'm just going to encourage you, parents, grandparents, you may have a lot of wasted years, but you don't need to waste your whole life. Amen? It's time to get right with God. It's time to surrender. If that's you, you just feel like that's for me, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to stand up and say, this is for me. Right now where you're at in the room, if God is speaking to you, you can stand up. We're going to pray together. Can we do that? Thank you. Is there anybody else? This is for you. Thank you. Yep. Anybody else? This is for you. Time to put aside all that you've been walking after and just say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus fully. Anybody else? I know it's bold. We don't have time to play games. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Time to stop playing games. Time to get real with God. It's time to get right with God. This is your day. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. I appreciate you guys that are standing up, man. God bless that boldness. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Yep. This is your moment. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Anybody else? Thank you. Come on, man. Yeah. That's a bold move, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. You're changing your family tree, man. I feel God's spirit in this moment. I don't want to move off it. Anybody else? If you know and love Jesus, you can be praying. Amen. Let's pray. It's a holy moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, in your own words, you can just begin. And this is for everybody. We can all pray these kinds of things. Just pray, God, I don't want to play games. I want to go hard after you, God. I want to choose life today. I want to choose the blessing of God in my life and on my family. I don't want my kids to fall to the wayside or my grandkids because I didn't choose to walk with Jesus. I'm in business today with God. Come on, right now, in your own words, you can say, God, I'm in business. I'm in business. I'm serious. I'm ready to put aside childish things and begin to live for God like a man or a woman of God. There was a day you could get away with that, but today is not that day. It's time to go after God. It's time to surrender. Holy Spirit, come move in this room. Come change our lives, God. Come change our lives. God, we thank you for your mercy and grace that you so lovingly put that word before us. That you say, I'll give you a choice. If you'll choose me, you can choose life and you can choose blessing. Don't choose death. Don't choose cursing. It's the grace of God calling us to this love relationship, calling us to serious faith, calling us to seek after God. And so I pray today in this room, God, if there's any person that's not standing up, thank you for the boldness of those who did. But I pray if anybody is not standing, but this is for them, and they know it, they're feeling it, their heart is pounding in their chest, they know this is a word for me. God, I pray you give them boldness to stand, even right now. But I pray, God, do a work in our lives. You will not stand before God with your friends sitting next to you. You will stand on your own. You will not stand before God with your family surrounding you. You will stand by yourself. The people that you'd be embarrassed to stand in front of right now, they will not stand with you. You will face Almighty God one-on-one. I pray on that day you will come not on the grounds of your own righteousness, but on the grounds of Jesus' righteousness and his blood that purchased your life. That you chose life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you feel like you're able to, you can be seated, those of you who are standing. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I really do want to commend you guys that stood up. That's a bold stand. I think God honors boldness, man. I think God likes it. God would rather you be real. Amen? Christians, we get in a lot of trouble because we put masks on that aren't real. You can live your whole life in church every Sunday morning and never know God, wearing a mask the whole time. But God honors us when we say, God, this is the real me. I have a real need, and I need a real Savior to step in. And so I believe God will honor that. I believe God loves when people are bold. Man, I love it. So good job. Praise God. We good? Y'all ready to move on? You guys are awesome. All right. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. Praise God. Acts 19 is where we're at. We're going to start in verse 1. Here we go. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" That's going to be kind of our question that we're going to ask today is, did I receive the Holy Spirit when I put my faith in Jesus? Okay? At that point, did I have all that God had for me in the Holy Spirit? Or could it be that there's more beyond that first experience by the grace of God? Now, Paul, I believe, knew there was something beyond that, which is why he started by saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, do you have all that God has for you, or just that first moment of salvation? This is what I believe, and I believe Paul knew it. Your life is too difficult, your enemy is too determined, and your calling in God is too important for you not to have everything God wants you to have in the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, reading on. They answered, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were first baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see here they've already repented and turned away from sin, right? And now they've put their faith in Christ, they come to salvation. Maybe they said a sinner's prayer. I don't know what they did exactly, but they put their faith in Christ, and then they were baptized in water as a result of what God had already done on the inside of their life. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says this, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So they were saved, and they were baptized. But when Paul laid hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 8 now. And what I'm doing right now is I'm setting up this biblical context of two specific experiences, salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two distinctly different things that we're going to see in Scripture. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I believe this though, doubt can come by hearing and hearing the word wrong. And so I want today to kind of, if you're in a place where you don't believe there are two different experiences, my goal today is to help you kind of see in Scripture, I believe there are, and I believe that Scripture is very clear on this, there are two distinct moments where you're going to get saved, but you're also later on going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. So I want to just kind of set this idea of two experiences in context. All right. Acts 8, we're going to start at verse 5. Acts 8. It says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. The context of what's happening right here in Scripture is this. In Acts chapter 7, right before this, of course, we know that, that Stephen was going to become the first martyr in the church, right? So Stephen's killed in Acts 7. Acts 8 begins by saying this great persecution breaks out against the church. And because of that persecution in Jerusalem, believers begin to spread out to the area around there, including Samaria, which is where Philip heads. And so Philip begins to preach the gospel in Samaria. Going to verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, so Philip here preaching the gospel. Verse 12 says they believed salvation, and then they were baptized in water afterward. So again, same thing, gospel proclamation, faith, baptism. This has all happened right now in Samaria. But go down to verse 14, check this out. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they've come to salvation, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John again placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So before this, were they saved? Yeah. Baptized in water? But were they filled with the Holy Spirit yet? No, they weren't. Two separate things, salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the question today is this, why two experiences? Why would God not give you everything you need when you get saved? Why would salvation not be like enough? Why is it not the kind of final work of the Holy Spirit in your life? This is why, I believe. Because first of all, salvation is a free gift. Absolutely free. And so Ephesians 2 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by putting our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and nothing else. But when you get saved, you don't have to at the same time receive a good marriage, right? You don't have to receive a good attitude right when you get saved, do you? In fact, you can be a tongue-talking, spirit-filled jerk. Amen? Anybody know that guy? All right. Anybody been that guy? Yeah, okay. So when you get saved, there's an initial free gift that God gives you of salvation. But the rest of that stuff, all the sanctification, all that comes by seeking and surrendering. So you're going to become a better husband, a better wife, as you seek and surrender daily. You're going to begin to have more peace in your life as you're seeking the Holy Spirit and surrendering to God's will and purposes daily. You're going to begin to walk out God's purposes in your life and not have so much selfishness and selfish ambition and all that stuff as you seek and surrender. All those things come over time with the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Salvation is a free gift. The rest of that stuff costs you something. Y'all with me? It costs you surrendering. It costs you seeking after the more that God has for you. God has much more for you than just your initial salvation. Y'all with me? Amen. After salvation, you need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. In John 7, Jesus would say that if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And then he said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then it says he was saying this, speaking of the Holy Spirit who had not yet come. So what he was saying was, there's going to be something in your life that's going to fill you up so much where it's going to overflow out of your life like a river. It's going to impact you, but also everybody around you is going to be impacted by the Spirit of God flowing in and through your life. Salvation, you can say it this way, is for heaven, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for earth. Salvation is your ticket into heaven. And praise God, we receive it as a free gift. We didn't work for it. We get to just say, Jesus, you lived a life that I could not live. You died the death that I deserved. You rose again to offer me a gift that I could not earn, but I receive it by faith. That's the beauty of salvation. Amen. But the Spirit baptism is the thing you need, not for heaven, but you need it for earth. Every day, tomorrow morning, when you go back to work, you will need the power of the Spirit working through your life to impact your coworkers. When you go home today with your kids, and it's nap time, and they won't take naps, and it's Sunday afternoon, and you know that God is calling me to a nap today. But they are determined, like vessels of Satan, they're going to keep you, right, from having a nap. But in that moment, you will need the power of God working in your life to help you to have a good, godly attitude. It's going to be awesome. I just bless you guys with that. So Peter walked and talked with Jesus, camped out by firesides for 3.5 years. And at the end of Jesus' life, when he's arrested in the garden, what does Peter do? He runs off and then denies even knowing Jesus 3 times, right? Even a young girl that asks him, hey, don't you know this guy? He's like, no, are you kidding me? Like he will not even acknowledge knowing Christ in that moment after walking with him as his best friend for 3+ years, right? But 50 days later, he'll be standing in Acts 3 on the streets of the city of Jerusalem in front of those who crucified Jesus and proclaiming to them the gospel of Jesus and to repent and turn from their sin. What changed between the night of the arrest and that day on the streets of the city? What changed is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It absolutely, radically changed the life and trajectory of Peter, and it will change yours too. Amen? So I want to look at Peter's experience. As we go on here, I want to look at how Peter not only received salvation in Christ, but also was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in John 20 first. John 20. So starting at verse 19. This is that period of time between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, right? So he's already risen from the dead. He's kind of showing up, doing spooky stuff. And this is what's happening right here in this text before he's ascended. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I would say, this moment right here, this is not the baptism, this is their salvation moment. They become the first Christians on the planet or in history at this moment. Now, why is that? Because the cross and the resurrection had already been fully accomplished. It was finished. All the work had been done for salvation. And so in this moment, when he breathes on them, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," as in receive the spirit of adoption. Receive the Holy Spirit. You are now sons of God. You are children of God. You are saved. You are bought, purchased by the blood of Jesus. But this story is told in several places in Scripture. And I want to go to a few other places it's talked about and kind of cross-reference other places. Y'all with me? We call it kind of the harmony of the Gospels, how we see from different perspectives the whole story instead of only John's perspective on it. So we're going to go to Luke 24, where the Apostle Luke is going to share the same story from his perspective. All right, starting at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." So the same thing he said in John 20, we're now seeing here. This is the same moment that we saw in John 20 between the resurrection and the ascension. But Luke's going to add some details that John does not talk about in his version of it, okay? And so go down to verse 49. Check this out. Jesus says, "I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, John doesn't talk about that in his version, right? But Luke does. Luke adds some more of the dialogue that we didn't see in John's rendition of it. And so we're going to see here that he says in that same conversation, "Hey, stay in the city until you've been endued with power from on high." All right, go to Acts 1. Acts chapter 1, another version of this same story, another perspective on this same story, starting in verse 3. Again, the author is Luke. He says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Listen, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." And then he adds this right here. This is one statement that wasn't in Luke's version in the gospel. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I think it's in Matthew 3, where John the Baptist talks about how Jesus would come and baptize us in the Spirit and in fire. And so now in this moment, Jesus is saying, this is the moment. You're going to be baptized in the Spirit. In other words, immersed, immersion is what the word means, immersed in the Holy Spirit. In other words, when Jesus said in John 7, you're going to have rivers of living water flowing out of you, what he was saying is, this is the moment. More than a deposit of the Spirit, you're going to have rivers of living water, Holy Spirit, flowing through your life, not only indwelling, like he does in salvation, but overflowing, so it impacts the world. And this is the key difference. When you get saved, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You become the house of God's Spirit. And so at that moment, Ephesians says that you're given a deposit of the Holy Spirit in that moment. You are saved. You are blood bought. You are purchased by the sacrifice of Christ. But you also don't have everything because you are not having rivers yet flowing through your life. So indwelling versus overflowing Holy Spirit. Now, in the church, we often have two kind of two errors in teaching. Two errors. And I want to just talk about each one of them so you understand kind of where we're at, okay? So number one is this idea. It's called cessationism. And cessationism is a doctrine that believes that all the gifts and miracles and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that all those things ceased at the end of the apostolic age. And so when the last apostles died, that's where the gifts and all these things died as well. And they were absent from the church for various reasons they cite. But the problem with that is Acts 2, when Peter preaches the gospel, he says, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, this promise is for you, it's for your children, and for all those who are far off. So he immediately, out of the gate, says, guess what? This is for everybody who puts their faith in Christ for generations. Not only this generation, but even your kids, your grandkids. It will go on and on and on. As many of those who seek the Lord, they can receive the same Holy Spirit you will experience this day when you give your life to Christ. Amen? So that's the number one, cessationism. And I might go back to that in 2 weeks or when we come back to it. I might talk about that a little more if we need to. In fact, if you have a question about that, maybe send me an email. Then I'll know. That'll be a good way to do it. There you go. All right, number two. The big extreme error is this. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved. And that's also an extremely wrong teaching. You don't have to receive this to go to heaven. If you did, your salvation would not be free. It would not be a free gift. It'd be done by something you had to accomplish, some works that you had to have. And so your salvation is not by works. It is completely by grace through faith. And so that is not true at all. You don't have to have this to go to heaven, but I believe God wants you to have it to live on earth. Amen? All right. Now, when you receive, and this is kind of an error that we see oftentimes in the charismatic Pentecostal church, is that people feel like if you have this gift and if you speak in tongues and maybe have the gifts of the Spirit, that you're like a next level kind of Christian. Yeah? And that's also really dangerously wrong. Dangerously wrong. Having the gifts of the Spirit, I said it earlier, you can be a tongue-talking jerk, right? All of us have places where God would have us grow. And this might be yours, but the person down the aisle from you, theirs might be self-control and peace and whatever it may be. All of us have places that we can grow in our love and consistency as we follow Christ. And so if this is your area, praise God. It will not make you better than somebody else, but it will make you better than you. Amen? Amen. It'll make you better than you. And so I think God wants you to have this because it's going to make you better than you. It's going to be a better version of yourself, praise God. All right, so three common questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit are these. These are the ones I hear most often, so I want to go ahead and answer them right now. Number one, can I be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not do all that tongue-talking weirdness? One I often get asked, can I have the gift but not have that part of it? And I'll just say, this is the pattern we see in Scripture. So the five times where it's talked about in the book of Acts, three of them say explicitly that this is the thing that follows, that they speak in other tongues. The other two imply it. One of them is Paul, who later we know from him that he spoke in tongues more than everybody else. And so we know that this is the pattern we see in the book of Acts. And I'll just say this, it's also a good gift that God wants to give to you. James says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. If God wants you to have this gift, I would say it's a get-to, not a have-to. Amen. It's a get-to, not a have-to. If this is something God wants you to have, and I believe he does, then this right here is a gift that God wants you to have in your life because it will powerfully change not only your prayer life, but I believe also your power life in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you are doing spirit, your spirit, to spirit communication. Do you know that? Romans 8 says that as you pray in tongues, that your spirit is testifying with God's spirit while you pray. It also says that you're testifying with words that cannot be uttered, with groans. That's how God's speaking through you in these moments. In Jude, verse 20, it will say that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify, you build up your holy faith as you pray. Why, if that's the case, would you not want to speak in tongues? Why? If it's a gift that God wants you to have, if it's powerful, if it will change your life, if it will help you pray the will of God at all times, if that's going to happen when you pray in the Spirit, why would you reject the good gift that is coming down from the Father of heavenly lights onto your life? It's a get to, it's not a have to. Amen? Amen. Number two, can everybody speak in tongues, or is it only for select people that have the gift of speaking in tongues? Now, if you've read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you've seen that the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of interpretation. But two chapters later, Paul will speak about praying and singing in the Spirit. All those who are listed in chapter 12, those are all gifts of the Spirit that are there for the edification of the body of Christ. They're ministry gifts. So prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, healings, and this is a key one, faith. Do we all need faith? Yeah. But in that chapter, it says there's a gift of faith, like the gift of tongues, that is given to edify and minister to people in the body of Christ. So this is something different than that. We all get to speak in tongues. We all get to have faith. We don't all get to have the gift of tongues or the gift of faith. Those are two different things. Y'all with me? All right. So I believe every believer, just to answer the question, can speak in tongues, can be Spirit-filled and speak in tongues. I believe it's part of the promise of God for your life. All right, number three. How do I receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit? I'm so glad you guys asked that question today, because I want to give you a couple of how-tos, all right? Again, it's available, but it's not automatic. And so I want you to begin to have a heart that's seeking after all that God has for you, including this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So number one, if you're wanting to receive today, number one, remove all the barriers that you know about in your life. So first thing, I would start with your own like soul. Are there some sin issues that God's calling you to repent and turn away from? Because sin always disrupts our connection to God. Yeah? And so is there sin in your life that you know about that God's saying, I want you to repent of that and turn away from it? Go home. Flush the booze down the toilet. Yeah? Yeah? All right. Another barrier could be doctrinal things you've been taught. I said it earlier that, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but doubt also can come by hearing the word wrong. So maybe you were taught all your life, maybe you even taught this to other people, that when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit and that's all you can ever have. But today you're realizing, oh, maybe there's something I missed there. If you've been taught something that is contrary to God's biblical explanation of this, then you might have to take that teaching you've had in your mind and say, God, I'm going to put this at the foot of the cross, and I'm going to ask you to kind of, you know, remove that so it doesn't stand in the way of me receiving from God all that he has to give to me. Yeah? Second step, request the gift. Just request it. Say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. I want to have rivers of living water flowing out of me like you promised in John chapter 7. I want this gift. I want to read for you Luke 11. I've already alluded to it. Have I read it yet? I don't think I've read it yet. Did I read it already? Read it again. Thank you. Man, bless you, brother. Bless you. In Luke 11, Jesus says this. So I say to you again, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he says this, putting it all in context. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If then You, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Here's the clincher. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The word ask there in the Greek is the word atu. And that word means to crave, to desire, to go after, to ask, to beg. It's this super like intense word, a passionate word. And what he's saying to us is, don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. There will always be more. In 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul will write at the beginning of it, he'll say, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And he's saying the same thing. Like, man, crave these things. Crave the life of the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. Keep going after it because God's always got more for you. I don't care if you're 75 years old. If you've never received this, this is the time. Don't stop asking, seeking, knocking. Go after God. He has more for you. Amen? So once you've requested the gift, number three, receive the gift by faith. Receive it. Just say, God, I receive this gift by faith. I believe what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, that this is for all who will come after. This is for me. It's part of God's promise to my life. I will have this. I receive it by faith and trust it's available for you. Amen? And number four, here's the big one. Release your prayer language. What we see in Acts is this pattern when you're filled with the Holy Spirit that God gives you this new language. You got to operate it by faith. You got to step out. You got to let go of your English understanding and say, God, I'm just going to step into this. And so you might have one word or one phrase and it falls in your spirit. And if it does, man, just speak it out by faith. Release that prayer language. This part is your decision. Yeah? Yeah. This is where you say, God, I'm going to tether myself to your word, but I'm going to move forward. I'm going to receive this thing by faith, and I'm going to begin to speak out. You just got to start by faith. Stop speaking in English. Stop singing in English, and just start speaking and singing in the language that God will give to you. It might only be a little bit. I learned Spanish in high school. I know like five words still. But I started with like uno. That was it, right? Like uno, dos. I learned a few things, and I was faithful somewhat to keep saying those things until I learn more, you know? But in the spirit, often it's the same way. You start small, but as you are faithful with what's small, God will give you more. Amen? I'm gonna ask you to stand up across the room. We're gonna spend a few minutes. We won't spend long, but we're gonna spend a few minutes just surrendering and seeking after the more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so if you've never received this gift, the baptism, I'm gonna ask you right now. Just say, God, remove all barriers. I ask for this, I request this gift. I receive it by faith and I'm gonna release my prayer language in faith. Because right now in this moment, it doesn't need to be a long time of tearing at an altar. It can be right in a moment. In fact, it was on the day of Pentecost. They had been seeking God, but it happened like that. So God, we believe right now you're able. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who will baptize in the Spirit and in fire. And I pray today, God, for this church, that we will be a Spirit-filled congregation, that we will seek after the more of God, that we will be tongue-talking, prophesying, gifts of the Spirit operating, people of God, to the glory of Jesus. So God, we thank you right now for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right now, we just say, God, any barriers, would you reveal those things to us? Show us right now so we can lay them down. We can repent. We can turn away from those things. And we request this gift. We receive it by faith. And God, we do release that prayer language in Jesus' name. As the band leads us in one song, I'm just gonna ask you to begin to, you can sing in the spirit. You can just seek the Lord. just receive whatever God has for you right now in this moment. Take a few minutes. Let's do it. Come on, team.
God just spoke a word to her. I feel like it's appropriate for us to share it. And so just listen to what God's speaking. Can we hold it? She was not planning on coming up here, so. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So God wanted me, he just gave me this word of encouragement, and I felt like it was for the church. And he says, where Matt was saying, release your prayer language. He says, we don't have to understand it. God is the creator of everything. Even he understands if it's babble. Just step out in faith, make a noise, a sound, and trust that God knows what your spirit is saying. And don't believe the lie of the enemy that you're babbling and making a fool of yourself. Step out like you did last week. Take that step. Receive. Go after him in faith, knowing that he is faithful.
There we go. I'm back on. There we go. So can we do that for a moment? Can we just step out and begin to speak and sing in the Holy Spirit? So maybe you felt like, I don't know if that's God or if that's me. It might just be my own, like mind, like making that stuff up. But listen to me. It's like Christy said, this is a language that God understands, and he honors your boldness. Amen? So let me right now just begin to speak out what God's put in your heart. Maybe you already have done it before. Maybe it's the first time today. We can just begin to sing or speak. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, join in. Oh, she ondriana nakato, rio ondriana nakatae, I ondriana natokori, ris ondriana nakatae, ore ondriana nakatoko, rio ondriana nakiti, adriana nakato, korandriana nakati, shondriana nakatae, io correo to. Andriana na kati ki lo shondriana na kato korandriana na kati iriandriana na kato korandriana na kati. Come on, let's do that. Shondriana na kati korandriana na kati. Come on, every voice, lift it up. Come on. Shondriana na kati rio koe rondriana na ye o kondriana kondria to korashondriana na kati rio ondriana na kato korosho. It's a sweet sound in the ears of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to stick around for a few minutes, you certainly can, as much as you want. We'll hang around with you. But I do want to release where we're at right now, because we are late, and your kids are probably crying, freaking out up the hallway. And here's the cool thing. Friday night, we're going to be here for the evening of prayer. So at 5 o'clock, dinner, but 6 to 10, we're gonna seek God in prayer. And guess what? People that night are gonna be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God's gonna move. We're gonna see prophetic words given, amen? So more of this and more of what God's doing and saying right now. It's gonna be an awesome night. So I wanna encourage you to be here for that. Guys, we love you. Keep asking, keep seeking. Keep knocking. It's coming your way if it hasn't already. Praise God. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you on Friday night.